You're listening to Big Tom and Roach, a different type of morning show, only on the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I just kept hearing it. I'm ducking and everything. God, in the house, I dropped my hot pocket.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I wouldn't be so hostile if you had 1 ounce of talent.
Sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
Good morning, folks. It's a nice day in California.
Here's Big Tom and Roach.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
All right, Tuesday morning, Big Tom and Roach. What's happening? What you up to?
Just, you know, living the life that God gave me.
Yeah, living the life that God gave you.
That's right.
Yeah.
What else can you do?
Yeah, we don't really have a lot of options at this point. Just got to make the best out of everything. And
yeah, I got to roll with the punches.
You shouldn't be getting punched, though. I don't like that.
I don't know. I like punches.
Oh, yeah? You're into that?
They make me laugh.
Oh, okay. Those kind of punches. All right, I got you. I bet you're one of them freaks that likes being beat up.
Oh my gosh, what is that?
Do you think that's a disdain for oneself, or do you think that's
For sure. Definitely you have some childhood issues. I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't.
I'm not my own biggest fan, but I don't like anybody inflicting pain on me.
Yeah. And I never understand girls that are like, I understand girls that are. What's the word I'm looking for? Tomboyish.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I totally get that. 100% I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the ones that are so want to be a dude so bad. And I'm not even talking about, you know, sexuality. I'm not even getting into that. I'm talking about girls that want to be like one of the boys so bad that they're like trying to punch other dudes just as hard as other dudes punch each other.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Like, if you have a brother, so have you and your brother ever like tried to give each other like dead arms or dead legs and like you'd punch yourselves like that hard?
Not for funsies, but yeah, I'm sure we have in getting along.
I see dudes do that to each other and they're usually kind of more on the jockey side. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I don't get it, but when I see girls do it to other dudes, I really don't get that because it's not fair.
Yeah.
Because the dude's not going to punch you back.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And so, you want to be fair in this world, then the dude can totally punch you back. But a dude, I think, would know better than to punch a chick back.
Well, isn't there a bone density issue? Don't women have more dense bones?
I don't know.
Are less dense bones?
Listen, girls are just as dense as dudes, okay?
I bet girls were made out of sugar and spice.
That's one thing I've never understood. I've seen it. I've seen girls be like that a couple times, and I just think it's hard to look at.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you were doing that to me, I'd freaking punch you back mm-hmm. or just like push you away from me and be like, knock it off. You're so annoying.
It's pretty weird. I see a lot of it in the fight world because of the fighters, but a lot of times that's more
that's
like showing the abs and showing this toughness. It's not that's not the same.
But the girls do that to each other in the fight world?
I've never
been in that world, so I don't know.
Well, in that world the men and women kind of train together. So there's definitely a difference. You don't let a dude just start beating the crap out of a woman, but they do roll around on the mat and they will do like little you see where a dude will punch a girl in her abs to show how tough her abs are. It's kind of weird.
What?
Yeah. I wouldn't do it, but it's kind of odd.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe in, you know, that world, that's cool. I mean,
But then again, you got guys like Steve-O that just let the heavyweight champion punch him in the balls as hard as he wants. So you just have people that do dumb stuff.
Yeah. I think it's interesting if there's a particular woman that I'm thinking of. I would see her do it to her dad, and I just was like, what are you doing? That's so weird. And he just would take it.
She punched her dad, and he's like, all right, cool.
Yeah, he'd just like kind of like curl up and take it. Like, she'd just punch him as hard as she could in his arm and his shoulder and his back. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And it was all out of, you know, fun. And, you know, and I was like, I don't understand what's happening right now, but it looks awful.
Like, it was, seems like it was, he might be a little bit of a pushover, and that might have, that kind of behavior might have started a long time ago.
It was just, and then, you know, and then in the future, then there was, you know, well, you know, it was, you know, a marriage didn't work out because she got hit. But then I thought, well, you know, that's never okay to be in an abusive relationship, but you're kind of abusive too. So I don't know what really, like, in my head, I'm going,
yeah.
What am I supposed to, and like, she's not like a little wimpy little girl. Like, I'm talking like probably she would fit in the world of cage fighting.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, she's ripped. So it was like, so when I heard that, I was like, what's happening? I don't understand.
You mean that you realized that you weren't getting the entire story from that one person? Sometimes that happens.
Seriously, with anybody that ever talks about a relationship, I always go, I'm so sorry, but there's two sides to every story.
Right.
Every story. And as much as I want to put all of my eggs in one basket and root for you,
friends,
general,
yeah.
You know, I think I'm pretty good at being devil's advocate. Like, I really, and I don't know if I got that from working in a law office. I don't know.
Well, part of it too, as a comic, one of our primary gifts is being able to kind of read people. I mean, I don't know if you've got, I think you have that pretty honed in. I know I do, where I can kind of like, you know, maybe it's not 100% accurate all the time, but it's way more accurate than most people's are after years and years of practice.
Totally.
So, but I think there's that aspect.
Yeah. I mean, I usually give people the benefit of the doubt until I see a characteristic where I go, okay.
Yeah, keeping an eye on that.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to do with a certain thing. It just kind of has to do with the daily life. And then I go, that was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, of course, that I am perfect. I have my flaws.
Well, we're all goofballs. We've all got our issues. Yeah, it's a matter of, you know,
but there is that element of, you know, you have a few drinks, you get in a fight, you start, you know, throwing some punches, and a dude, you know, there's only so much a person could take at some point where you're going to get pushed off.
Yeah,
I'm assuming
the relationship has to be able to survive each of the members at their worst.
Totally.
Like, they have to be able to be at their very, very worst. And if you're already kind of
if you're at a worst in a normal day-to-day thing.
Yeah,
if you're that aggressive joking around, I can't imagine how aggressive you're going to be when you're angry.
Exactly.
So,
well, also too, that kind of, when you're doing the punching and all that, that's also sending a message. Like, that's also, it might be, oh, I'm playing around, but it's also a, hey, look,
I like to get roughed up.
Yeah. I'm a little, I've got a little more power over you. I'm not afraid to put my will on you.
I'm just kidding. I didn't just say that. I like to get roughed up. I don't know what that means. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a psychologist, but you guys, if you don't know that about me yet, it's time that you know. I did not study psychology, but I do ask a lot of questions when I see people do questionable things in their daily life.
You don't have to be a psychologist to read people.
Well, I just have to go, why are you?
In fact,
like,
if you
that?
Go and get to know any real, if you really, and sorry if any of them are listening, if you get to know somebody in that field, they're actually the most wacko ass people that you come across. Most of them.
You're not.
A lot of them.
You're not lying.
Psychologists, therapists, all good hearted people, good people with good intentions that can fix you, but they usually got bigger problems than you could possibly hand them. I've had a lot of friends in that career field over my lifetime. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
You think comics got problems? Meet a psychologist.
Uh-huh. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And I know a few.
Yeah, they just get to do their craziness behind closed doors while we do it with lights on and a bunch of drunks judging us.
Right?
Mm-hmm. People have no idea what it takes to get on stage, and they tell you how it's supposed to go. That's the best.
That is the best. Did I apologize to you yet?
For what? What are you apologizing for? Crazy.
Oh, you guys. Comedy is great, though, because it's good for that. It's good for calling out things that you're kind of like, wait, what is happening here? And because what's interesting is comics, I like when comics take something that is just accepted and the norm, and they call out the absurdity of it and mm-hmm. kind of go, you guys, check this out.
Yeah. Well, I've always said that the comic's job is you're a translator. And a lot of times your job is to kind of like get people thinking a little bit outside of not preaching and not going into politics and all that, but challenging people just
for sure.
Like, hey, why don't you try looking at things at your life a little differently? Like, why don't you try?
Here was my silly epiphany when this happened to me.
Yeah.
You know?
When you hear people going on and talking about how dumb their kids are or something like that, and you're like, you know, the audience is like, yeah, that's right, my kids do these goofy things. And it's okay to acknowledge that, wow, that's actually kind of wacky.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that's very special, and it's taken lightly by a lot of people who do it, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I really like when you do kid humor and then people come up to you and afterwards that don't have kids and they go, have you tried this?
Yeah.
And then you go, in your head, you're like, of course I fucking tried that. Go home and try it on your dog.
No, this is my first day. Yeah, you go try it on your fur baby.
I don't understand what the big deal is with vaccines. I mean, we've been giving vaccines to our children. That's how they go to school and blah, 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 blah. And why don't you just vaccine, vaccine, vaccine? And you're like, and I'm sorry, how many children do you have? You have zero.
Right.
You're a dog mom.
Yeah.
Please don't talk to me about vaccines.
Have you gone through the trauma of bringing a baby to get their vaccines, which we've all done? And then the yearlies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We're aware of how difficult it is and isn't. And we're really aware of how much goes into them.
Totally.
That doesn't mean, hey, let's line up and just shoot as much crap into my kids' arms as I can.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer. My kids, I'm just going to put it out there. My kids have all the vaccines they need mm-hmm. to get into a public school.
Right. As do mine.
My whole thing is, my kid had this virus and my kid fought it like a champ. I don't think he needs a vaccine to fight it again if he had to. So I think we're good.
Well, that's all supposed to be revisited this week. And there's a lot of pushback from parents on both sides. There's, there's people who are very much pro-vaccine. There's people that are kind of like where we're at, where we think it's important, but we also think it should be your own choice. Yeah. And there's people who are totally against it. And
you either you give your kid the flu shot or you don't.
Yeah.
I personally, as awful as it sounds, I want my kid to get the flu because I want his body to be able to fight it and get stronger.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. That's what I want for my kid. Of course, I feel bad when and if they get it. It's not often, which is a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, historically, and I don't get the flu shot every year because I also think it's kind of it's one of those technologies. Is it technology? But it stays behind. Like it's always...
There's always a new variant.
It's fighting a past flu. And I always found that was kind of weird. But I'll do it every once in a while, especially if it's a thing where the kids are getting it. I'm like, okay, well,
Kids, he was an asthmatic for a very long time. So he would get the flu shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then what ended up happening is he ended up getting the flu anyway. And it was because it was a new variant. And then I thought, well, you know.
Well, yeah, you get a flu shot. A lot of times the flu shot will make you feel like crap. Not as bad as a COVID shot, but it will make you feel like crap. Yeah. And a lot of times you go, man, what is it? And it's just like everything else in life. You're weighing risks versus rewards. You're going, man, is it, you know.
For the, honestly, for the adults, I get the adults, okay? I get it, and we, you know, there's all sorts of different, you know, ideas now. Like, it seems like every week there's a new idea and there's a new whatever and whatever. You do you. I don't care, okay? But when it comes to the kids, this is just very too new and very, I'm just going to say it. If your child has like a low immunity and you feel your child needs it and that you have a child that has a pre-existing condition, that's all on you. But I have to say, you know, my kids have had it twice now and they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time was way easier than the first time. And the first time was less invasive than the flu. So
it's because their bodies are used to fighting it.
So for my family and in my household, I don't feel that it's necessary for my children to have that. Now, if it's going to turn into something where they need it to get to school, I'm going to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
It's going to suck.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just really going to suck.
Well, it's a big fight that's going on this week in California, and you know, these ridiculous things that are put over the kids, and of all the, I mean, the kids are still up until today wearing masks at school,
yeah,
wearing masks all over the place. And now they're being told, you know, we still highly recommend it. So they're basically considering lifting the mandate, I think today, tomorrow, so somewhere this week, but they're still going to highly recommend it. So you know that that means that there's still going to be a level of, hey, you know, get your mask on.
Yeah.
Some schools are going to be like, sweet. It's an interpretation of the law.
But yeah. Even like the private schools, they will do, because they want to stay open.
Yeah.
It's like any business. You're not just going to, if you still, the state can still shut you down if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So it's like, really, if anything, you have to homeschool your kids if you want them to be like completely.
Well, I think the state's going to end up backing off of the. I think the state's backing off of the mandatory vaccine because the feedback has been overwhelmingly, yeah, go screw yourself, Gavin.
Well, go screw yourself, everyone, because I can't tell you the amount of people that I know that have reverted to homeschooling. Period.
Yeah, yeah.
People that thought they could never do it. During the quarantine, realize like I can do this, and I'm going to continue doing it.
I still think that teachers should go, and schools should just be completely privatized. You should be able to do it online. Teachers get together that way. You can go and say this school worked for my kids.
Right.
I'm willing to put my money over here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it should be. There should be obviously some sort of. You know, because schools have been paid for by the government forever.
Yeah,
there should be some level of involvement there, I guess. But I don't know. It's a big, massive mess, and it needs to be fixed.
Yeah, I think I don't know what I think. I think one of the biggest problems, and I've said it before, is the way the union works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, protects the teachers. Takes away incentives.
That's what it's for. It's to protect the teachers, but it's protecting also the bad teachers.
Yeah, it takes away incentives to do good.
And it's protecting them after 2 years and for the rest of their career. That should be the two-year tenure program in California and in any other state needs to be abolished.
Right.
Abolished. You get tenure after you've been working in it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And you've proven to be an amazing teacher.
Teachers move around a lot too.
Teachers need to get raises. Teachers need good teachers.
The good teachers they'll substitute and they're constantly moving around. I think a lot of them just get out of teaching because there's all these positions that are locked up by these people who got in and don't want to move.
Well, no, because they want to collect their pension after there's certain, what is it, 30 years, 25 years? I don't know what it is, but your pension, you know, you'll get your
that being retirement. Said, the small school that my children go to in Santa Paula is amazing. Like, I don't think there's a single teacher there currently. Now, I don't know them all really well,
mm-hmm,
but I don't think there's a single teacher there currently that I would think is riding the pine, waiting for. Yeah, I think they're all actual good teachers, really good teachers.
I'm going to assume that that school has a lot of parent involvement.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah.
You know, and that's huge. And I think that that's the other secret that people don't, even if your school doesn't have a lot of money, when there's parent involvement, the school and the community, the children, they thrive. They some thrive in that.
I think some of the teachers even have kids in the school. Teachers, some of the teachers are parents and they attend the parent-teacher type of, you know, not parent-teacher, but like the PTA type stuff, things that aren't really necessary for teachers. Right. And there's just an overall feeling of support. And it's a really neat, it's just a really neat school. And I mean, it never escapes me. Every day I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. You're very lucky.
Yeah.
You're very lucky that you have that because... there's just some schools that, but it's just people don't realize it too. You know what I mean? Like it really just takes some parent involvement.
Yeah.
You know, in the jogathons and like everybody can have a role to play. It's just really it's really interesting. It's really just being present at the school that makes such a difference because the teachers appreciate it. The staff appreciate it. And I hate to say it, but it really turns into a, and I'm not saying you have to be there every day, but like figure you do like 20 hours a year even of just, you know, going to STEM night and participating and, you know, having something to do with the activities at the school. What happens is that the teachers see it and the staff sees it. And guess what? They know your kid's name.
Yeah.
And they know your name and they appreciate you. And then what they do is without even knowing subconsciously, they get to know your kid and they give your kid just a little bit of extra care and love. And I hate to say it, it sounds awful, but I think that that's just common sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that teachers definitely, when a parent's more involved and they're there more, that it's just like any other business. If you have a customer in the building, when you have a customer in the building, that's when you're on your best behavior. And if you know that that customer is going to be regular and that customer has preferences, you're going to make sure that that customer is taken care of. And if that customer has a child in your school, you're going to make sure that kid doesn't have a lot of complaints.
Now, in high school, it's a little different, I think. You know, in high school, they're just kind of like, we don't want you here. You don't need to be here so much. Just be here on the football games. Help us sell the food at the friggin' snack shack. And they kind of don't want you there as much.
Well, there's not as many checks and balances because they have a kid for, you know, they have one group of kids for an hour and then they have another for, and so there's no... I think it's
and it's bigger. It's like there's so many of them, but like my thing's like, no, I need to get in. How do I get in there? Like, how can I be of service?
I can tell you that when I went to high school, and my school, high school, I think had about 4,000 kids. It was huge. When I went to high school, that's when I realized that teachers weren't like perfect people. That's when I realized that there were really bad people in teaching. And it was like,
I think I realized it too.
It's kind of rough.
I kind of realized my question was, and I didn't understand because I was in high school and I didn't know what I know now. But my question is, why are you still here? If you hate us so much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was little, I just kind of took it as I suck. And I'm not smart and I'm not a preferred student because I'm not as smart. And
well, as a kid, that's the way you look at things.
And I was like, you know, in quotes, bad, right? Or lazy or a distraction.
Bad handwriting. Everything. Bad handwriting. You had trouble making it to places on time. You didn't organize your paperwork well. You probably didn't take great notes. Nope, All of it.
I forgot to write my name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Which makes you a terrible kid. Not worth the investment.
Well, it was I made them work harder.
Yeah. And a lot of them don't want to do that.
And so, and then you get into high school and then you're past that. Once you're in high school, it's just like, it's like for them, it's like a show. It's like, once this show's over and the bell rings, next comes like the new audience.
Yep.
Either they're going to take it or they're not going to take it.
Yep.
You know, and And that's when you know it's because you're older and you're wiser and you say, why are you still here?
It's pass or fail instead of, hey, let's do what we got to do to make sure everybody passes. Yeah. And that's where the spirit of teaching has been lost on a lot of people.
I do have to say in middle school, I had teachers that I enjoyed and that they enjoyed teaching. I was lucky enough to have some pretty fun, good teachers in middle school. It was high school where I just went, what is happening? And the classes where the teachers didn't care, those were the classes where you goofed off.
Yeah.
You know? So it definitely wasn't, those weren't the AP classes. That's for sure.
Right. Spanish and home ex. What was funny was the easier classes were the classes that where the teachers were a little more laid back. But then that's when students like me would be, you know, all right, this teacher doesn't give a, you know, doesn't care. So I'm going to be even worse.
Right.
It was such a bad thing when really I should have took advantage of that. And go, okay, there's teachers that actually will invest their time in me probably if I just show some effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is so weird. It's so, I wish I'd go back to high school now. I bet I'd kill it. I bet I'd get good grades.
Oh my gosh. Hello.
Except for math, it's still crap.
But that's I mean, that's everyone. If I could just go back in time.
It's the Mitch Hedberg joke.
Know what I know now.
Mitch Hedberg had the joke where he talked about, man, I wish I could play t-ball. I could kick some ass. I wish I could play some t-ball.
Totally.
Now. That's true.
Totally.
If we could all go back and play t-ball, it'd be all good.
Absolutely.
Well, hopefully they'll make the right decisions and hopefully we'll start getting past this. Since the rest of the world is going around maskless and, you know, moving on, it would be nice if we can let the kids kind of do the same thing.
I have a feeling that Canada is going to invade us and we will just be a part of Canada soon.
Yeah. All right.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. Could you imagine?
I could buy a Skidoo. Does that mean it'll snow here?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. What's up with the whole, I don't know about last week was really cool, but global warming. Well, why isn't it warm? Why does it seem like our winter this winter is like frigid and super cold? And then, well, we live in California, so we'll have a random 80 degree day and then it'll be freezing again.
It's so bizarre.
2 days later.
It's a very weird thing. It is. It was funny because I got up this morning and I set my alarm. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get up and walk. And when I got up, the heater was blasting. I was like, it's way too cold to walk. And so I felt my window and I was like, all right, am I going to get out? Mm. The window was freezing. And I was like, okay. Got my shower, got like kind of like bumping around, getting ready. And I started realizing, I'm like, okay, I've got too many layers on. It's warm. Like, it's just, like, it instantly got warm. It went from really, really cold. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the sun came up and instantly heated things up. It was like an air fryer sun. It was so nice.
That air fryer sun really does a doozer on my skin.
Yeah. It comes out and it just heats everything up right away.
Makes my nose really red.
Yeah.
look like Rudolph.
I have to get out and start walking again, though. I have to start exercising again. That's been my biggest.
Did you bring your walking shoes today?
Of course. I always have my
walking
shoes.
Well, let's go. It looks like it's not that windy. We can go on a little trek.
Yeah, we could do a little walk. It'd be good. I like that.
Yeah, because summer's coming.
Summer's coming. We got to get into our beach bods.
We're going to do a bikini bod show, comedy show on the beach.
Why not? Why not? I've got nobody in my life telling me that I can't do things now. So.
Could you imagine? That's actually pretty funny. I like it. I like the idea.
Do a bikini bod, a beach bod comedy show?
Totally.
Man, that would be a much younger comics game than me.
That's like a good one for MTV.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Do they still do things like that?
I don't know.
Remember when they used to do like the beach party? What was it called? But it was like Soul Train, but it was just on the beach.
Yeah.
Like in Florida.
And E did that too. Remember, E used to do that because Burns would
sit there and watch it. Kids were going crazy.
Brooke Burke. It was like while not. Oh, cold. I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, yeah. There was a bunch of those shows like that. It was when they first started to bring. That was like social media before social media, because you would see people partying. You'd be like, oh, I'm sitting here and I have to go to work tomorrow. But these people are all partying.
But it was like a dance party on the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone was hot, right? And young.
Right.
And yeah. Now I want to YouTube it and see what comes up.
Brooke Burke's show was called Wild On. I remember that now. It was Wild On. So it'd be like Wild On Honolulu. And then she'd be out doing stuff in her bikini in Honolulu. She did that often too. I actually met her in Hawaii once.
Oh, I think I remember that too.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good show. Letting you know stuff that's out there going on. Let you realize that you ain't doing nothing with your life.
Right. You just got home from school and you're eating some Cheetos and a Coke.
It's amazing how much life's changed. Like in those days, if other people were doing stuff and I had days in, I felt so left out. Like this week I have four comedy shows. And I'm like going, oh, I don't want to leave the house that many times in a week. You know what I mean? I'm like,
no, yeah,
I don't want to leave the house that much.
But that's what happens when you're busy and you're working a lot.
Yeah.
Right. So like my daughter asked me yesterday, what are you doing today? And I said, in my head, I'm thinking like, I just kind of want to chill and rest. Right. But I can't say that. And she said, I said, I don't know why. And she said, well, I was thinking maybe you and I can go shopping.
Aww.
And that's like my dream. Like, of course I want to go shopping. I love to shop. But yesterday I was like, I actually don't feel like doing that right now. Because I feel like there's so, like I said yesterday, I feel like I need to detail my house.
Yeah.
It's gross. And so I would feel guilty if I went shopping and didn't take care of business first.
Why don't
in my home?
How about you tell her, say, hey, let's go shopping, but why don't you help mama clean up and maybe clean up one corner of the house just enough to where you feel like you accomplished something.
Yeah.
And then you get to go spend that time with her. And then she associates the shopping with not necessarily rewarding, but
right.
But as something that, oh yeah, we did some work. Now we can kind of go.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's a good idea.
And then you knock a little bit off the checklist.
Yeah.
You do the same thing as I do. You look at the checklist and go, crap, there's a million things to do. And then you don't get much done.
Well, no, because you're overwhelmed.
And I'm the same way.
And I'm hearing you tell me this. I go, I probably should have done that. But what I ended up doing is not very much.
Gave her a Klondike bar, a soda, and some candy. And waited for the phone to ring.
I said, I didn't even say that. I said, I don't know, maybe. Let me see if I can get some stuff done. I know you're laughing because we've all done it. Instead, I went to Gelson's and I got a strawberry shortcake.
Oh, good for you. No, the reason I'm laughing was because I completely forgot about something over the weekend. Me and the kids listened to the episode when we talked about Tommy being a crackhead on the sugar.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And Maddie wants me to issue a detraction. She was very adamant that I go on air and issue a detraction.
Oh.
If you remember right, part of the story was that I made her a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the waffle iron, and it looked so pretty that she wouldn't eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It had Baby Yoda on it and everything.
Yeah.
Well, after talking to her, she said, no, the reason I didn't eat it was because it was disgusting, not because I wanted to keep it. And I said, you really want me to go and tell people that? She goes, yeah, it was nasty, Dad. I wouldn't eat a nasty sandwich.
Oh.
Yeah. She was in a mood. She was in a mood.
Dang.
Yeah.
Maddie was mad.
Sugar and spice and all kinds of hurricanes. Oh, yeah, I remember
that. It's called The Grind. MTV The Grind was one of the shows. Oh, yeah,
The Grind. That's right. I forgot about that.
Jeez, it's so funny. Look at that.
Yeah, they're dancing in slow motion in their bikinis.
Wow. Oh, look at this girl right here.
Yeah, these girls are all grandmas now, which is great.
Hello. Here we go. Look at me.
These same girls are all grandmas. Like, meh.
You think they are?
Some of them are.
This is 1990.
Yeah, 1990. A bunch of them girls probably got pregnant that night. Well, look at the way they're dancing.
This girl did.
Yeah, she got pregnant. She got a kid. Her kid probably went on when TikTok first came out.
We should definitely try and do this show with cameras so everybody could see what we're looking at. We'll get there. We'll get there. We're waiting on our investor. We'll just call him Investor Kirk.
Nobody will ever figure out that code. Nobody will ever be able to crack that code.
Our investor, producer.
Our decision maker.
He's right now he's working on getting the studio going. He almost actually started. He wanted to get rid of some drywall today because we're going to get a brand new. He's going to put a garage door in here.
Wow.
All windows.
Ooh.
So that, you know, we have like a really cool view of the outside.
Nice.
Like he's going to replace the plastic door. We have.
That's nice, though.
He's working on it. This weekend, he's like, babe, we got to start on the studio. And I'm like, what if the guy doesn't show up who's coming to see see what's going on underneath it?
Yeah.
Because Kirk's like, let me do this for you to, like, try and save money. He's like, I can take off the drywall. I can do all of that. You don't need to. I'll do that. I'll get it started for you. And then I said to him, I said, babe, why don't you wait for him to confirm that he's coming before you start taking the house apart? And he didn't like that, but I was right.
Oh, yeah.
Like a good contractor, he never showed.
Right. Isn't that crazy? We've had that conversation on here before about contractors.
It's kind of like, and the thing is like that's the problem making a deal with a friend who is a contractor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of how it's going to go.
Yeah,
because they're going to put the real paying customer first, so you're going to be put on the back burner. But the thing is like they're still going to give you a great deal. So how can you kind of, you can't get mad, but at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, how is this going to? This is going to be a slow process.
I mean, even if you're paying full price, a lot of times that's your nature is, hey, I've got 3 gigs. Okay, I'm going to blow off the friend because the friend's going to understand and love me regardless.
Right.
And that's where a lot of the problems lie.
Well, I'm doing it at cost, right?
But I don't think it's all. But I don't even think the at cost plays into it as much as the other.
Did you see the DJ? DJ was funny.
I see the girl with the giant green boa. Oh no, that's a vest. a vest made out of feathers, which is perfect beach attire, by the way.
These guys are on a pirate ship.
If you're gonna dance.
Oh, what? Hey, what? Oh, what is that? That was a fun move.
It was the same thing over and over again.
You guys, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube and put in MTV The Grind 90s. Or dance party and all of these cool.
Now they're in the parking lot of a cheap motel. That's nice.
I know. They're just all over. What is this? New Orleans? It looks like Now these guys are in New York. These guys are on a pirate ship. It's just like.
Well, the pirate ship, I believe, isn't that in Vegas?
I don't know.
I think so.
That's not Vegas, though. That looks like New York.
Oh, did they bring the pirate ship? It looks like the pirate ship's moving.
I think that the dance party is happening in all different parts of the U.S., towns. And
yeah, it's definitely doing that. But the New York people are moving. They're like on a vehicle or something, right?
Yeah, and then this looks like it's shot in the Keys. Like, what? They're just all over.
Yeah, and that's like shot in Houston. That's
amazing. What's happening? The 90s were fun, though.
Well, apparently you could turn on the TV and see people dancing in their bikini for an hour.
Why don't we have that anymore?
We do. It's called TikTok. I don't know why it's so popular. I was listening to a podcast, a very popular podcast, and they were talking about how other countries uses TikTok to enrich the lives of the younger people. They use it to learn. They watch scientific experiments. They watch all this other stuff. And we're really like the only country that's sitting there going, I want to lip sync to George Michael's in my living room by myself.
Totally. Or lip sync to somebody else saying something funny. And it's like, why don't you get creative and make your own funny thing?
There are two things that ruin me for...
Actually, that's an insensitive comment.
There's two things that
some people just aren't funny.
There's two things that ruin me for people. One of them is the TikTok, seeing them poorly lip sync to a song and do like a half ass dance with not the full commitment. And the other one is a little more, actually, I'm not even going to go into that one today. But it is funny though, when you look at the TikTok and you see people that are, they're going, you know, they're doing somebody else's song. They're lip syncing and they've got a billion filters going on. And you're like, why do people watch this? Thousands and thousands of
viewers.
It's
really interesting what happens is, I mean, it happens to me. I mean, even like the TikTok thingy that's on Instagram, is that TikTok or no? Are
they
related?
They're trying to be it. Yeah, they're trying to
right?
be it now.
So it's really interesting how you don't realize you're even scrolling on that until you go, wait, why am I seeing videos that are completely unrelated
people I don't
to
follow.
My page? Yeah. Yeah, and people I don't follow. And what happens is you click on some like a video that I may have made, mm-hmm. right? And you click on it. And then what happens is when you scroll, it goes into the TikTok mode.
Yeah.
And then you just keep scrolling. And it takes a few minutes before you go, wait, what am I doing? So I actually... with the things that I'm doing now that is like my professional world, I have decided that when I'm doing professional work, mm-hmm. I do not want to be messaged on Facebook. Please do not message me on Instagram if it's work related. I want to focus on my professional email and text me if you like want to get my attention, because if I go to those sources to see if somebody's trying to contact me, I stay on there.
You end up in a time vacuum.
I end up in a time vacuum. I don't get my work done. And I wish I was strong enough. I mean, I am strong enough, but I have to catch myself. I do get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole purpose of these things in our lives, yeah. is for that to happen to us. Right.
Yeah, that's why I find it so fascinating that all these other countries are into scientific experiments. They're into...
But I wonder if that's true.
I think it's true in some countries. Countries, especially countries who regulate the stuff that goes over the...
That's the other thing. So how is it that some countries can regulate what their people are watching, and yet my kids can watch porn at any old time of the day?
Because that's because it's not a priority. That's why. It's absolutely not a priority to our country to protect our children.
Yeah. Why is watching porn bad? Because it's addictive. How could porn be addictive? Because it is. And I'll tell you what, if you do get addicted to it, you're going to break your dick. And that is how my monologue goes to my boys.
Listen, I got something really important to talk to you about.
It's really easy. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
You're not going to know how to perform without watching that. That's not even real.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a completely manufactured yeah. form of connecting.
Yeah, and if you think that a woman is going to be okay with you getting aroused by watching another woman or two women or possibly a man and a woman in order to be aroused for her, that's not going to last too long.
Yeah,
that is not a platform for a strong relationship. That is just.
Is that something that comes up where somebody's like, "Hey, I got to go watch some porn so I can get worked up and we can do something"?
I think that's for men for people. I'm not just going to say men, but for people who are addicted to things, they need it. It's like their Viagra. So that's why I say, like, be careful, you're going to break your dick.
Yeah.
Because that's something that could happen. It's true. Same thing with women and their devices. Like, careful, you're going to break her. She's not going to know how to perform without it.
Yeah.
That's dangerous, because I'm pretty sure there's dudes that aren't going to want another pecker in the bed with you every single time.
I'm just going to let you keep going. Let's look at
this. I was just talking for real. Come on. I wouldn't be down with that. You brought a video. What kind of video is that?
Oh, it's just my old DVD. It was in the back. Okay. I was going to look at the bit, the list of my bits on the back.
But, okay.
I thought there was going to be
something. Is there nasty, a bit about.
I'm sure there's nasty bits in there, but it's not. They're not on the.
I mean, I'm not trying DVD to be like nasty. I'm trying to be realistic with the ways of the world right now. It's very. I was on the Anthropology website a few months ago.
I didn't think you were being nasty. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying.
The things that I might have talked about might be stuff that you're touching.
But in my life of growing up as an adolescent into being an adult, the word dildo was not something that was brought up.
Right.
Masturbation occasionally, right? But like very like masturbate. Like it was whispered. And now you go to a woman's clothing website and they're selling sex toys and an upper scale clothing website, and they're selling women's products to arouse yourself. But at the end of the day, it was kind of a turnoff for me. So I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why is this on here?
Yeah, that stuff's becoming more and more available. And
I don't think it's on there anymore. I think there was a lot of people that complained.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I think. I could be wrong. But it was definitely, I did see people make, you know, write comments. Like, I can't believe I came on here to, you know, look for clothes and this is on here.
Yeah.
My daughter looks for clothes on here too, you know, and it's, I get that.
Sometimes it feels like people are just testing the waters. Like, what can I get away with today? And then they get called out.
But it's not just like testing the waters to be like Madonna. It's like testing the waters to see what else can I sell on here that will make money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place for those. There's special shops for those things. Like, stay in your lane.
I didn't know that. I never went to one of those and had Marco shove a 8-foot dildo between my legs while I was walking around. That never happened.
Crazy.
We used to go to San Francisco and there was like it was just like you see at a sports store that has a bunch of old baseball bats.
Yeah.
And they had these big giant like, it's not a, is it a dildo when it's just a big old giant rubber thing?
I don't know. Is it one or is it a joke?
And it was black, like this color black, not like a black person's skin, but it was like black.
Yeah. Like a chess piece black.
Yeah. And Marco found it hilarious too. We'd go to San Francisco, and if we went into the store, he thought it was funny to grab that and just bring it up right between your legs while you were looking at something.
Of course.
So I didn't go into the store ever because I didn't want to be victimized by Mr. Marco.
That sounds like something I might do to my husband just to shock him.
I'll try to find the website so you can order one. You can have it around the house.
Oh, no.
Just chase him around the house with it.
I'm good.
Yeah, especially if you have a tendency to not pick up all your stuff before company comes over. A joke like that might not be.
Yeah, I'd love to have like a play date with my little girl, and like they're like, look at this funny bat.
That's something we have to take in account when we're trying to be funny on that kind of stuff. We always have to consider that, like,
and that's always just funny as a gag. It's not funny to like have around all the time,
right?
Which reminds me, I have a big bag of little penis necklaces that I need to get rid of from a bachelorette party.
Leftover from
that were never
Halloween.
Used. And I felt bad. Yeah, seriously, can you imagine? That's horrible. Oh my gosh. That's awful.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about kids coming to your house anymore.
Can you imagine? Finding that in your kid's candy.
It's probably worse than
a penis whistle.
It's probably worse than a razor blade in the apple.
Yeah.
Because the kid wasn't going to touch the apple.
Yeah, totally. Tasty treat. I love apples.
Mom, what's this?
Oh my gosh. No, actually, I still have it's a huge bag filled with penis things, like little penis candy, and we wasn't used.
You know what you do is you drop it off at the Goodwill at night, And you don't do it because you think they're going to resell it. You do it because those people working there need a good
that
day.
That will make.
They would love it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think they'd love it.
Maybe I will do that.
Yeah. Just in case, drop it off like at the one in Oxnard or something.
My gosh.
Not one too close by.
I know, because it'll be like, hey, Rochelle. And I'll be like, hey, Bob.
Yeah,
how's the fam?
Rochelle, we saw your drop off on the surveillance. We're kind of curious what you expected us to do here.
And by the way, I did not buy those. They were bought by one of the other bridesmaids. So I was kind of bummed out when the party was over. I was like, what's in this bag? And I went, holy moly, why didn't we use these?
We covered all the inappropriateness with the cookies. It was actually overall a very appropriate. It wasn't out of control or anything like that. And I thought it was very good.
No. So I'm actually going to, I'm going to do the same thing. Tell me if you're down.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a fun night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sell that at an auction, a comedy dinner night
mm-hmm.
at my house. And so I'm going to sell it at an auction.
Nice. Is there going to be...
for 14 people.
Is there going to be cookies with that are...
No, it's not going to be a bachelorette night.
Oh.
It's just going to be a comedy night. So it's going to be like men and women. So you can buy like the entire... It'll be for 14 people. So you would... So it's dinner and alcohol and comedy all included.
I like it. Great idea. Help raise some cash.
Yeah. We can have it at your house or we could have it at my house.
I like it. Good plan.
Right?
Mm-hmm. When can people start bidding on this?
Well, it's going to be at a... It's going to... I guess it's in June?
Cool.
Wait, no. May. May 13th, Friday the 13th.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
And then also, since we're speaking of comedy, we're going to get out of here pretty quickly. So I want to give a shout out for our Thursday night show.
That's right.
Laughter Heals at the Canyon Club.
Yes, where musicmeetsthesoul.com.
That's right. We have a great headliner. Brian Kellen's going to be there. The lineup is stacked as always.
Mm-hmm.
A great show that you and Craig Shoemaker are putting on. Can't wait to do it. It's going to be a good time.
Tom's going to be hosting.
Yeah. 7:30 showtime. The doors open at 6.
Yes.
Canyon Club, where laughter meets the soul.
Well, that on Thursdays, it is where laughter meets the soul. But if you, okay, so tickets at the door are $15 mm-hmm. is the cover. If you want to get tickets before that, you can go ahead and do that at wheremusicmeetsthesoul.com. And would love to have you guys there. Nurses get in for free.
Yeah, bring your nurse friend. That's a good idea.
Yeah, bring your nurse friend. Have them just bring their badge, and that's their way in.
I love it. Canyon Club, Thursday.
Yes.
Thursday night.
Canyon Let's Club, Agoura Hills.
That's right. Yeah, we should get that right, too.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of Canyon Clubs.
Yeah, there's a few of them, but it's the one in Agoura.
Agoura Hills, 7:30 on Thursday night, and it's going to be a fantastic show.
Yeah.
Lots of great comics. It's going to be just a good time, and I can't wait. We're going to have a good time.
Woo!
Little Willie Green from New Orleans, a greedy boy was he. He always liked a lot of kids around just to keep him company. One day his mom bought him a jelly roll, the best cake that was made. And when the kids began to hang around, little Willie said, I ain't gonna give nobody none of this jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. My ma told me today, when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring me a toy. I'm my mama's pride and joy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the time you die. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, cause I ain't gonna give you none. Thank you. into this jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. Mama told me that day when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring that toy. I'm my mama's red eye boy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the kind of dime. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, 'cause I ain't gonna give you none.